Good evening, Mike Malloy here on the Friday edition of the Malloy Program. Thanks for tuning in. We will talk about Kathy's procedure a little bit later. But right out of the box tonight, I want to bring on Mike Papantonio, who is co-host along with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and David Bender of the program. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Ring of Fire. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let me turn this thing off. There we go. Mike lives in Pensacola, Florida, and among other things, it's going to be past tense here pretty soon, Mike, a scuba diver in the Emerald Coast, the so-called Emerald Coast that is about to be inundated. One of the reasons we got a hold of Mike today to tonight to be on the program, I saw him, I saw Bobby Kennedy Jr., Mike, on Rick Sanchez's program, CNN. You know, nothing bad about Sanchez, but the way the questioning was going, it was though Sanchez was trying to find some kind of balance point between...
Yeah, it's the CNN formula for failure.
It really is. I mean, there is no balance point here between this disaster that is turning out to be an absolute monster and America's insatiable desire for oil, and that's what he was trying to do. So we asked Mike to come on tonight to talk about this disaster. You're on the easternmost boundary of what may be. I mean, you guys may get this.
We're right in target. You know, Mike, what people don't realize is Bobby Kennedy and I handle these cases all over the country. I mean, they know of the show Ring of Fire, but the truth is we handle some of the biggest class action environmental cases in America. I mean, literally, and that's, you know, from east to west coast. And so the reason both of us are in this one, obviously, it just happens to be my backyard, but I was initially hired in the case in Louisiana several days ago. And what we do is we do the workup on the case and actually try the case. And so that's my involvement. But, I mean, the storyline on this is appalling. I mean, you've got the Deepwater Horizon. They had two trip devices that were used to supposedly blow out a catastrophic problem like this. Both of them failed, either because of human error or because of defect. BP didn't want to spend the money to put an absolute fail-safe trigger system on here, Michael. It's a trigger device. It's called an acoustic switch. It's used all over the world except in the United States. For example, if you go to Norway and you want to drill there, you can't build the drilling unit out there without having an acoustic switch. And what it means is it remotely triggers an explosion that closes up the rig's pumping capability, completely, utterly close it down. Anywhere you go in industrialized world, you're going to find the pump where you find them pumping oil from the sea. You're going to find this device on rigs, including, and here's the real edge, including the rigs that are owned by British Petroleum, except in the United States, where they treat us like a third world country.
Now, let me just jump in right there, because I think I heard Bobby say today on Sanchez's program that the reason this device was not included is because the Bush administration turned its back on all these regulations, all these fail-safe devices, and BP and none of the oil rigs wanted to put this on, so the Bush administration said fine.
Do you remember the closed door meetings that Cheney had?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of the stuff we're learning now is coming from there. And one thing is his directive to the Mineral Management Service. And, you know, it all flows from the top.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, the reason BP didn't have to have the acoustic switch is because the Mineral Management Service was keeping in line with the Cheney Energy Program, and they told the industry, look, gee, you don't have to be as safe as the rest of the world. You can do something that's basically in line with the third world. No need for special safety switches. They're too expensive. That was the argument that a company that's making $40 billion a year was making, that we can't afford this $500,000 switch. So now, in the most perfect scenario, if I were to say to you, Mike, what's the most perfect break we're going to get? At best, we're going to hope to recover 20% of the projected 20 to 30 million gallons of crude oil in the Gulf of Mexico that connects directly up to the rivers and estuaries where all the spawning takes place all over the Gulf Coast. And so along with that, you've got millions of gallons of cleanup fluids. They call them dispersants, but basically what it is, it's a toxin that forms, and it actually kills marine life. In addition to that, we don't know how dangerous it is for a cumulative effect in the human body. So here we have something that was completely avoidable.
Mm-hmm.
And the real tragedy is the media is missing the story. Yeah, I mean, we get it. It's a disaster. It's a catastrophe of the ecosystem. It's a catastrophe of the fishing industry, the shrimping industry, oysters, harvest, you name it. It's a catastrophe. But what about the story?
Mm-hmm.
What about the story that the reason this happened is because we had a bunch of corporatist Republicans in charge of the program for 8 years, and in 2003, this is one of the things that those corporatists did. They took away regulatory protections from the American people on things like this. It's no different from the same thugs we saw lined up behind the Goldman Sachs story, or the same thugs we see every time the FDA announces that, gee whiz, we called it wrong, the product, our pharmaceutical product has killed another 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that story's not going to be covered by mainstream media. You know why. Kennedy knows why. I know why. A lot of people that are struggling with what corporate media has become, we understand this. That story's not going to be told. The thing that is horrifying, in addition to that story, we're not talking, you know, a lot of comparisons to Exxon Valdez. Exxon Valdez dumped their oil up against a shoreline. This
right.
is not a shoreline.
Right.
This is mud. This is an estuary as my understanding, goes from where the sea meets the estuary all the way back about 30 miles. Once that's gone, there's no recovery.
Yeah. Well, I add to that, it's one of the most fragile estuary areas in the world. It's its own ecosystem. It's a wetland that provides water for all of the South. I mean, it's where we get our aquifer. So, I mean, the real issue is the media now, you know, you almost listen to the media sometimes. You say, gee, this is an aberration. Well, no, it's not an aberration.
No.
How about 800-plus disasters like this in the last few years that we don't even hasn't even been reported?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Michael, think about this. Do you know why they were so, at the first couple of days, oh, there's no problem here, you know, this is not a big deal? What they were doing is a thing they do all the time. When there's a spill, the policy is try to delay disclosure as long as you can. The damn thing's at 5,000 feet, okay? At 5,000 feet, they say, okay, if we can cap it off with just 45,000 gallons today, then maybe we're going to be okay. So nobody asked the question, how often does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
They were in the same. Look, I know I have the blueprint. The blueprint is deny, 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 try to cap it off, try to say nothing has happened. That's why for 3 days the Coast Guard was telling us there's no problem. The company was telling us there's no problem. And the media, who was brain dead, was telling us there's no problem. But there was a problem because it's the same blueprint that all of the rigs use when they have a disaster like this. We simply don't get the whole picture. This was so outrageous that we do get the picture. I mean, it's in our backyard right now.
Mm-hmm. As monstrous as this event is, and as irreparable as this damage is going to be, and the fact that 250,000 gallons a day now, it's my understanding, is spewing out of this this hole in the floor of the ocean. Is there any upside to any of this at all?
Michael, I'd love to say there is because I live here, okay?
Right.
But I have to put my lawyer hat on, and this is what I do for a living. I do it all over America.
Right.
And if I, in the best, Bobby Kennedy and I work with the best experts, not just in America, but in the world. And when they're telling me that not only, it's not just 250,000 gallons anymore, this thing has evolved into just a sure enough gusher. If you take a look at the pictures that Noah's showing right now, looks like a damn volcano coming from the bottom of the ocean. Okay, well, here's the deal. Ignore the surface, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
The surface has nothing to do with the big picture.
Wait, Mike, hold it right there. Ignore
what you're saying.
Ignore the
surface.
Let me do a break. We'll come right back and pick this up, all right?
Right.
All right, we're talking with Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire, co-host with Bobby Kennedy, David Bender. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. The hour. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, who along with Bobby Kennedy Jr., David Bender, are co-hosts of Ring of Fire that you can hear on various radio outlets around the country, also on Sirius and XM. He is also a prosecuting attorney, a litigant attorney who has worked with Kennedy to file damage suits. And we can get this in a second because I want to go back to oil on the surface. But it's my understanding, Mike, that you and Kennedy, along with other lawyers, filed a lawsuit against BP 2 days ago.
Well, Bobby and I were actually hired to actually go prosecute the suit. I mean,
okay.
there's part of the discovery and the trial that has to take place. And we typically get involved at that level. So,
okay.
But they're the first cases that were filed in America, and so we're in it that way.
Now, the oil on the surface that is all we see, and it looks bad, but you were about to tell us it doesn't begin to describe
the problem,
it.
Mike. Right. You've got everybody focuses on the surface, but truthfully, there are different layers that this oil settles to. You have things called thermoclines, for example, that move through the Gulf Coast. Thermocline is just a different temperature gradient from the various levels of water. You have the Gulf Stream that moves in a particular direction. You have predominant tides. All that does is it takes the oil off the bottom or from the center, and it moves it in directions that are completely unpredictable. Well, they're predictable, but you don't see where they're moving.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been to Corpus Christi, where you walk down the beach and they have these tar balls in this disgusting Texas.
No, and I'm a better person for it. I've never seen that.
Oh, well, it's disgusting. I mean, mm-hmm. it's another reason not to go to Texas. But the point being is that what that is that's at the bottom of the Gulf, constantly this oil is breaking loose and coming on the shore. It's constant. It goes on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other part that is being missed here. But Mike, here's the big picture. For us, here's what I see for us. We have a Gulf Coast that's still struggling to recover from a $110 billion loss from Katrina. We have a dead zone already the size of New Jersey that's been out there for a decade,
mm-hmm.
that was also created by the petroleum industry and the chemical industry. The dead zone has just completely devastated the fishing industry.
Now, that's the sewer that the Mississippi River brings all these farm chemicals that the oil industry produces. That's what you're talking about.
That's correct.
Right.
It's more than that, though. If people don't realize, they have something called Chemical Alley right outside New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and it's just this broad expanse of every
refinery
carpetbaggers go to the south. They say, gee, we want to give you a job. Yes, it's probably going to kill you. It's going to kill your environment. It's going to kill your quality of life and your culture. But we're going to give you a job.
Right.
So they come down there and they dominate that whole area. So that's where the dead zone comes from. On top of that, you've got just the regular problems that exist in the Deep South right now. You know, economic catastrophe, foreclosure catastrophe, record-level joblessness. And you've got that Deep South dysfunctional Republican politics that's decimated our environment. Now it stands to decimate an entire southern coastal culture.
Mm.
Because this all flows from the same kind of drill, baby drill stupidity that's been promulgated by the people in charge of the Republican Party. I mean, let's call it what it is. Do you hear Rubio? Do you hear Marco Rubio or Sarah Palin or Bobby Jindal talking about any of this nowadays? Of course not. Mm-hmm. But the point is, this whole picture, the picture, it all ties together with this. The solid deep South has been a victim of this type of corporate thuggery for decades now.
Sure,
and every
sure.
now and then it surfaces, every now and then it does, and it did here. Mm-hmm. The last case we tried was the Mr. Go case down in New Orleans, the Katrina case, where the entire damn city was washed away because the Army Corps of Engineers and a few corporations allowed it to happen. So, I mean, it's the same story, Mike. You just change the names, you change the places. It's like the verdict that Bobby and I got up in West Virginia, a $400 million verdict against DuPont, where DuPont came in and virtually destroyed an entire city, killed the people who live there, killed their culture, killed their income, and then walked away from it and said, "Golly, I'm sorry." It's just a matter, Michael, of changing the names. The same scenario. Here you've got the government just as dysfunctional, not doing their job. Every time you see one of these environmental stories, you'll see this revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
Joe worked for Conoco. Conoco then says, "Joe, we want to get you a job with the Mineral Management Service." And then, or it's just the reverse of that. "Joe, if you give us a break, we're going to give you and your buddy a job when you come out." It is the same cronyism that's driven by deregulation that we see in virtually every industry in America right now. And it didn't just happen, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't wake up one day and this was on us. We woke up because this has been a course of conduct for 8 friggin' years under the Republicans. And you know what? I wish I could say Obama was awake and inactive and angry enough to do something about it, but his slow plodding recovery is driving me nuts.
Yeah,
this is an example of it.
Maybe this will have the effect of cold water in his face. Can you hold on again?
Sure.
All right, Mike. We'll come back after the break. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts of Ring of Fire, environmental program that actually sues the hell out of people when they do things like this. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is about 25 before the hour. This is the Malloy Program. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts with Bobby Kennedy and David Bender of Ring of Fire, also a plaintiff's attorney in so many of these lawsuits against these predatory bastards that now run the United States. All right, the story, as you mentioned last segment, Mike, the story that media are missing is the fact that this was highly preventable. Had there been in place rules and regulations to allow these oil companies to continue to make billions of dollars of profit, but still maintain some sort of safety or preventive measures, it wouldn't have taken billions of dollars to install a blowout preventer on that oil rig, and God only knows what it's going to cost, this event's going to cost.
Well, you know, here, I remember today I interviewed with Bloomberg, and here's what I told him. I said, listen, what's happening is that you have a new corporate mentality in America. The corporate mentality is short-term, maximize profit, because most of these CEOs are on, a 5-year program. Mm-hmm. Go in, try to maximize as much as you can, get paid big bonus, and move. That is a new concept in corporate America. It's not sustainable. The issue is not do they come in and build a company in a sustainable long-term future. It is living 10K quarter to 10K.
Right.
And if they do that, the way they do that is they go in and they cut costs. And that's one very clear way to do it. The other way they do it is they hustle the U.S. government into externalizing all of their risks. For example, you know, when a company does something like this and they can get away with it and we don't know about it, they simply take their polluted air, and the community has to then figure out how to clean it up. Mm-hmm. They come into a town, they take the water supply, and they pollute the water supply, and then they leave town, and the community has to clean it up. It's called externalizing risk, and so that's another thing they do. But the point, Mike, is this. The point, it is a new way of thinking in corporate America, because it's all short timers. I don't care whether you're dealing with the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm. the auto industry, the environment, you know, the petroleum industry. It all moves from one corporation to the other without any long-term sustainable idea. So because of that, $40 billion wasn't enough for these pigs at the trough. You see, mm-hmm. they wanted to save another $500,000 that it would have cost them to put in a system, an acoustic switch system, that would have absolutely, unquestionably stopped this entire event. And you know what? Yesterday, they lost $26 billion because of it, and tomorrow they'll lose another $30 billion, and it is possible that they won't pull through this.
No, this is with their stock price dropping?
Yes. Right. And you know what? The CEO will leave this company and go to work
sure.
for another company.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, they all come out of Yale and Harvard with these MBAs and these degrees, and they have one thing in mind. It's not to go into a company and build a sustainable long-term infrastructure. It's not to have that company prosper. It is to extract as much as they can from that corporation in their 5 years, and at the same time show increased, I don't care if it's a fraction of a penny every quarter, that's how they get mm-hmm. paid.
All right.
So it's a whole new way of thinking, Michael.
Let me ask you kind of an overarching question then. I think you and I are on the same page that these corporate predators are absolutely, utterly, irrevocably destroying not just the economy, but the cohesiveness that used to be in this economy or in this country. They're destroying attitude. They're destroying the political system. So, big question. How can we stop this?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to rebuild the media. Because, look, when there are watchdogs that are telling the story, when you have something that is ugly as, let's call it what it is, when you have something as ugly as creeping fascism mm-hmm. that is bought and paid for by corporate America, do you think these crazy nuts that show up at tea bagger parties, do you think that's mom and pop? That's AIG insurance. That's the healthcare industry. That is the petroleum industry. When these people show up, somebody buys and pays them to be there. Now, when is the last time that you saw the media connect those dots? Now, every day, Mike, you and I deal with stories that we look at and we say, well, you know, are we going to see this on tonight's news?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no.
Right.
So the first point is you have to have Mike Malloy's on every station in America. You have to have Rachel Maddow's and Ed Schultz and Stephanie Miller's and people like me and Bobby. We have to have a presence.
Mm-hmm.
We have to build something to where we can talk about issues without 30-second sound bites, and we can have smart people like the people who listen to your program analyze and understand the risk involved. It starts, Mike, I swear, I hate to oversimplify it, you have got to rebuild the media. And
well,
until you do that, look, you know what? People say, I go on Fox News probably 3-4 days a week. And they say, well, you know, what in the hell are you doing on Fox News?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I'm doing is I'm trying to get talking points out to people who are listening, you know? And if it's 10 people listening, then that's a great success that day on Fox, because the people who listen to me and listen to you, they don't listen to Fox. But if it's a huge success if we can get the story out in a way that runs contrary to the way that the mainstream media operates. I'm not oversimplifying when I say it begins with restructuring the media.
Oh no. I'm in total agreement. I mean, that was the whole idea about Air America back in the days when it was being put together. It didn't quite work out that way, but that was the original idea.
But look what good came out of it. I mean, you know, You're still at it. I'm still at it. Rachel Maddow, Al Franken, you know, a bunch of great things came out of that.
Well, that's true. But in order to get this, trust me, I completely agree. In order to get this new media, it's getting worse. I mean, look at Rupert Murdoch, who has such a powerful influence in this country. Look at the corporatization of media. I mean, as good as MSNBC is with some of their show hosts, you know, it's a joint venture. NBC is still owned, as far as I know, by General Electric.
What happens when Comcast gets them?
Right. Well, there you go. So what is a realistic way to rebuild media in this country?
It is to build an emerging secondary media. Just listen, a kid that's 18 to 35, do you think he's sitting in an easy chair watching the nightly news?
No, he's
surfing the net. He's saying, okay, what did Mike Malloy do last night on his show? And he goes to something like Democratic Underground or wherever it may be, and he finds your clip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he, but the beauty to that is it's working. It's slow. It's plodding. It's a generational difference.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom and your dad don't understand what I'm saying. They don't understand. There's a generational disconnect. We don't understand. I understand it because you understand it because this is what we work with every day.
Right.
18 to 35 year olds, those are the people we need to put everything into. Those are the people, if they're going to pull us out of this bullshit situation that we're in the United States, it's them. They take the time. You know, they may get their news on Jon Stewart. They may listen to Colbert. They may listen to me or you, but they're going to get it another way. And that's very encouraging to me.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Going back to the BP situation, how do you see this playing out on several levels? First of all, stopping this gusher, this volcano of oil, A. B. Rescuing the coast, the southeastern coast of the United States. C, the litigation to bring these bastards to heel. What do you see happen?
Well, okay, let me start with the easy one.
All
the
right.
Easy one is the litigation. Listen, the people, the team I've put together, they have the money, they have the talent. They're the most talented. We've assembled some of the most talented lawyers in America. The same people that I worked with, same quality of people I worked with on tobacco. When
right.
we settled, people said, "Pap, you're crazy. You're never going to."
And you got it. And you got.
Well, we did.
You got
we
a
did.
$200 billion settlement, wrong. Right?
Okay. Well, this is the same thing here. We've assembled some great people. So I'm not worried about the litigation. We're going to look. There is no place for BP to hide from this team. I mm-hmm. promise you, there's no place for them to hide. The other part, though, is the damage that's done. You know, my wife, I walk in the house and she's saying, "Well, what happens here?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the bad news. It's irreversible for 10 years. I mean, what's happened is already happened. Michael, they can't even stop the gusher, you understand.
Right.
This isn't a leak. This is a gusher.
Right.
Go online and take a look at the NOAA pictures. It's a gusher.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, and it's happening every day. If they stopped it right now, we'd have a 10-year problem, but they're not going to be able to stop it for weeks. So we have an entire ecosystem that is destroyed for all practical purposes. The other part of it, the other part of it is, yeah, I guess the other part of it is how do we live with it? Well, we have to rethink. We have to rethink about who is in control of this country. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to say, as much as you don't like to admit this, or I don't, Michael, we have to. We have lost control. We fight it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But we aren't in control of this company anymore. Exxon is, Pfizer is, Merck is. Rupert Murdoch is.
Mike, can you hold on another minute?
Yep.
Okay, hold on just a second. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're talking with Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts with Bobby Kennedy, David Bender of Ring of Fire. Stay with us. 10 before the hour on the Molloy program, we're talking to Mike Papantonio, one of the co-hosts of Bobby Kennedy Jr. and David Bender of Ring of Fire, which, by the way, is on Saturdays, 2 p.m. Go to Ring of Fire, Google Ring of Fire, to find out where in your area you can hear this program. Bobby, are you Mike, are you on, you're on Sirius and XM, right?
No, we're not.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
But we've got pretty good coverage all over the country.
All right. Just Google Ring of Fire. You will find, where you can hear it. The bigger problem here, as horrible as this gusher is, a mile underneath the surface of the Gulf, the bigger problem, of course, is what you're talking about. The fact that corporate America has absolutely destroyed, and that's one of the themes that we've talked about in this program constantly. The Republicans are they're like zombies. They're pod people. The Democrats are not much better. What in the hell, besides media? How do we find people to get back into office, re-regulate this capitalist system, if we're going to stay with capitalism, I think that's a mistake, but as long as we're going to do that, to re-regulate it with a great big wrench tightened down on this bastard?
Well, first of all, we have to stop being delusional about the difference between Republicans and Democrats.
Right. Well,
I don't
know
if you saw today the Attorney General, Holder, who obviously has come up as a corporate type from the day he started practicing law. He's been beholden to every major corporation in America. He is one of the worst appointments that Obama has made. Because all he is an extension of corporate America. So today he comes out and he says, look, don't rush to sue this company. Don't rush to the courtrooms to bring class action lawsuits. He said, this is a time for preparedness and prayer.
Oh, my God.
I swear, do you think BP is praying about, all they're praying about is how can they avoid losing billions of dollars? This is Eric Holder.
I had no idea he said that.
Oh yeah, this is Eric Holder, the guy that Obama has appointed. He's telling the best lawyers in America, me included, don't rush to the courtroom.
Yeah.
Let BP's gonna do the same thing.
It's almost like
he forgot what Exxon said after Exxon Valdez, the exact same thing. Don't rush to the courtroom. We're going to take care of you. Everything's going to be okay. And you know what? 26 years later,
right. They
still haven't cleaned up their problem.
That's right. What about Halliburton's? It's my understanding they were involved in running the operation on board that platform.
Look, how do you think Halliburton started showing up on every platform in America after Cheney had his secret Energy Council meeting that we still have not been able to get the notes for? Halliburton goes from a minimally important company to a company that touches everything, including every, why do you think they're on almost every oil platform in this country? It happened behind the very agreements that took place with Cheney. I mean, this isn't tinfoil hat stuff.
Yeah, is there any way that in discovery, when you guys do bring these lawsuits in, that you'll be able to
absolutely. Those, let me just tell you something.
All right.
What was secret is a little less secret today.
And is it going to work out where in the discovery phase of this, whatever trial comes next, that you'll be able to show that Cheney, behind closed doors, had a hand in turning all this over to corporate America?
Oh, yeah. Look,
any
number of people have tried to get to those documents.
Right, and can't.
The Supreme Court has protected, Cheney all along the way. But this does change the caliber of inquiry. And so, the question is, was there an event that took place sometime after 2001 that changed the corporate culture, the way that the corporations dismissed the importance of safety? I mean, that's a very basic question.
Sure.
What was different between 1999 and 2001? What was different?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see Dave Cheney has his grubby little hands all over it. And, I mean, you know, this is not me talking. I mean, this has been written about in Time Magazine, Newsweek,
sure.
Nation Magazine.
Sure.
Everybody's covered
sure.
the story. But it hasn't been, they don't, at the end of the story, they don't say, well, what does this mean?
Right.
Well, what this means is what we see happening in the Gulf right now. That's what it means.
And the part that worries me, it doesn't worry me, it infuriates me, and in addition worry me, is whether or not the American public whose very life, I mean, our lives, everything about this country is at stake if we don't connect these dots. Is the American public going to be able to do it, especially given this disaster? Are we ever going to be able to connect the dots?
Well, you know what? We will. It'll be the next generation that looks back in some damn history book and says, oh, I see what happened, just like we're doing with Iraq, just like we did with Vietnam, just like we do with every occurrence it's like we put blinders on as it's occurring. It's like we don't even see it's happening, and some cat in a history book 20 years later has to tell us what happened.
But you, more than a lot of people in this country, understand we don't have that 20 years anymore.
No, we don't.
We don't have, you know, it was 35 years ago today that Saigon fell. We don't have 35 years, Mike.
No, I understand. But, you know, that's the sad part of it. That's the sad reality. Look, Mike, the people that are listening to you right now, that's the best hope we have. And thank goodness, it's a pretty solid hope.
Mm.
I come back to this concept of generational change. If 18 to 30-year-olds don't pull us out of this, we're SOL.
That's
right. You know, let's be honest with you. Our generation didn't. Our generation, you know, we were at Woodstock. We were, you know, protesting the Vietnam War. And the next thing we know, we're driving a friggin' Bentley and MBA, and we're working for Wall Street. I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
and all of a sudden we go from being a radical Democrat to a money grubbing Republican. I hope we can count on more for the next generation that comes through. That's all I hope.
I hope so too, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
All right, take care. We'll talk again. Take care,
bye.
Mike Papantonio, Ring of Fire. Use your internets to find out where you can hear this program every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we're going to do podcast trivia where you can win a one-year subscription to the commercial-free podcast downloads of the Malloy program worth 25 cents each, or if you buy them on a yearly basis, under $60 a year for podcast subscriptions. So we'll be giving one away. We'll open up the lines at that point. excuse me. I can't think of anything that Mike Papantonio said that we don't discuss on this program every night. The corporate destruction of this country is ongoing. And he's right. About one glaring truism. Everything Mike Papantonio says is the truth. But one glaring truism is how this disaster in the Gulf is just one little piece in the utter, absolute destruction of this country that is going on because of the grip, the death grip that corporate America has on us. I mean, there's no daylight between his position and mine on those issue. That's the overarching issue. So we'll have him on again. Now, because so many of you wrote about Kathy's condition, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes here and go through this. Yesterday at, it seems like a year ago, but yesterday at 4 o'clock in the morning, we got up, went to electrocardio unit at one of the big hospitals here in Atlanta, where we got there at like 6:30 in the morning. They checked her in at 8 o'clock. They took her into this enormous operating theater, not to do any cutting except in her groin to get these wires inside of her, but they had radiation special radiologists and her lead doctor and you know, there were about 8 or 9 people in there. It was reflected in our bill, which I'll tell you about in a second. She was in for about 3.5 hours. They had her under conscious sedation, but her surgeon told me that she slept through most of the procedure. They got the wires into her heart, found the problem, beat the living hell out of it with electrical surges in her heart. Actually, radio frequencies, not electricity, but sound like sonogram stuff. High frequency radio waves is how they destroy this tissue that shouldn't have been there. The tissue they decided was there because of a birth defect. So, her surgeon says for the rest of her life now, this is not going to happen. A cardio electrophysiologist. Not a surgeon. Anyway, the insurance that we have through my union, and this is insurance that, again, it's through our union. We'll cover all but about $1,500, $1,700 of the cost. The cost on this is around $60,000. We had no idea going